Dr. Brastak, good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Sir?
Go ahead, yes, sir. You're on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Vikram. I have no problem at all with the cabinet reshuffle. And I think that people, in all fairness, should bear a lot into consideration. I must compliment the all right Honorable Prime Minister and her cabinet for a well-done job in managing this country, especially in these testing times of the coronavirus. Ms. Vikram, you are perfectly right in something you said a while ago. The former Prime Minister, Mr. Stewart, could not fire anybody. Simply because if he had fired anybody, we would have got the elections a long time ago. Can you recall, Mr. Wickham? You're an honorable person I respect. You have a Speaker of the House of Parliament. What is the role of the Speaker of the House of Parliament, sir?
To maintain order and so on in Parliament. That's the order of the Speaker. Yeah.
And therefore I think he's probably one of the highest esteemed civil servants. You had a situation in Barbados with a Speaker, a man of God and a Christian man, seeing a man with wrongdoings and can tell him go and get a lawyer. That take the cake. So if Ms. Morley have a cabinet reshuffle, nothing is wrong with it at all. Furthermore, I want Barbadians, maybe a lot of them are too young to recall, when the late, the right excellent Earl Wilson Barrow left this country, Barbados, had a ministerial members of parliament, but left a Jew by the name of Mr. Leon Bernstein to deputize and act in his absence. So if Barbadians are there, as Sir Grantley said, have short memories, they should go and recall and look at the history of Mr. Barrow, Mr. Bernstein. Yes, and there were a number of members of Parliament. I saw you just receive an email from my very dear friend and the late Joy Edwardson. However, Mr. Joy Edwardson should also acknowledge the fact, yes, that Mr. Barrow did have his father to fire, but before such was done, Joy Edwards did the rightful thing to resign. Mr. Wickham, I sincerely hope that God shall and will continue to bless and guide our dear beloved Prime Minister, the Honourable Mayor Amar Motley, and that she'll be around for a long time. And to that joker, just talking about losing 10 seats, according to you, we don't even have a candidate yet. Boy, the people shall never, ever, will ever win a seat in Parliament in this country. Furthermore, Prime Minister of this country. God bless you and have a good day, Mr. Wickham, sir.
Okay, thank you so much for calling, sir. It was good chatting with you, and I'm sure that one of the Prime Minister's associates will pass on your good wishes to her. Dr. Brastak, a couple of quick points in this lunch. The first one is regarding leader of the Democratic Labour Party, Ms. Gertrude Fisa. I have been in contact with her during the course of the program, and she's indicated her willingness to be on the program with me. However, she has some matters that are being dealt with. Let's appreciate that the President of the Democratic Labour Party now is not the leader of the opposition, and as a result, she is not employed in that role and has to essentially make a living and be able to cope with several things. So it is not my intention that she not be here. Let's make it clear. I do want to give the opportunity for her to speak and interact, but she's indicated that she's having some challenges today, and she will try to be with us as soon as she can. The next point is this whole question of my stress. And I can assure you that it has nothing to do with any marital stress that I'm experiencing. In all seriousness, I have to admit, even though I don't believe it has been showing on my face, that I do have some challenges now regarding the state of our region in Barbados. The COVID situation has been perilous for us, especially as most of the Caribbean countries rely on tourism. We have a situation in Guyana that should stress anyone who is interested in politics and so on in the Caribbean. And we also have the situation of LIAC, which is another stressor, and I think that any of us who are interested in regionalism. My sense is that within the Caribbean region, we are at an all-time low in terms of challenges that we are currently dealing with. I feel that these challenges are no different to the West Indies Federation as a point in time when we face issues that we were not able to face properly together. I sat over the last few days and I watched what was taking place in Europe, where the major economies of the EU have come together and agreed on a relief package. Of course, they have a common central bank, which makes it a lot easier. But the negotiation of that relief package, whether it was going to be grants, whether it was going to be assistance in kind, whether it was going to be loans, had to be negotiated. And they were locked in negotiations for, I believe it was close to 6 days, which was the longest negotiation they have ever had in their history. I was told that Emmanuel Macron was banging on the table, Angela Merkel was raising her voice. Things got heated, but nonetheless, they got to a point where they have agreed. I believe it was 390 million euros that will be essentially a package of assistance that is being offered to members who are experiencing the negative effects of COVID. This is, of course, down from a proposed 600 million euros, which was initially proposed by the larger group. You have what is called the Frugal Four, which are countries that are less anxious to spend, are saying it needs to be brought down. So the point I'm making is that I admire the fact that Europe can identify issues which are similar to ours and they can tackle them together. I do feel that as a Caribbean, we have dropped the ball as CARICOM regarding the issues that we are currently facing. I think that LIAT is unfortunately being approached in an almost single-handed manner for whatever reasons. The issue of Guyana, we're seeing that the Guyanese APNU, which is the party that is currently in government, is reacting very badly to the idea of CARICOM involvement, even though they invited it in the first place. And then the whole other issue of COVID, I'm not convinced that we have seen this as an opportunity for us to tighten, to pull together, to deal with things jointly and to create a common space, certainly where we can move around freely. And that's one of the things that I admire also about the whole European continent, is that even though you can't come in and out as you would like, ultimately there's relatively free movement within the group of countries that are known as the EU. So if there was a stress, that would be my stress, in the sense that I do feel that we are facing unprecedented challenges in the region now, and I'm not sure that I'm happy with the way in which we have taken. Final point is that I'm told I need to remind people when we are going into a natural disaster, people, you have to be careful and secure your pets. Many of you have pets who do not live inside the house with you, who may live outside. Ultimately, pets have to be able to fend for themselves. If they are not in a situation where they are able to be with you in the house, in the sheltered area, you have to ensure that they are in a position where they can fend for themselves if a natural disaster arises. People, be very, very careful. Your pets are part of your family, or at least they should be, and they need to be treated as such. So when you are essentially boarding up and making sure that you are safe, just remember that your pets also have to be safe in that regard. Dr. Brastax, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
I'm good, sir. Good. A very great move by the Prime Minister of Barbados in that reshuffle yesterday. A very good, that was a Ronald Sufi King move when he was much younger playing draft. But I saw there are two flaws in it that needed correcting. The first one, the Prime Minister should have taken up the red phone and called
Nolan. Taken up a what?
Red phone.
Uh-huh.
And called Noah Lynch. If she had intentions of moving Kerry Simmons, call Noah Lynch and bring him back home to make him Minister of Tourism. I have nothing against Lisa Cummings, a very beautiful girl that worked very hard. I witnessed it with my eyes. Worked very, very hard in that Bridgetown port.
Sir, let me ask a question. Why is it important to say that she's a beautiful girl? Is she worked hard?
A very hard-working lady.
Is she the ugly? You would say she's an ugly girl that's worked hard? But don't make sure ugly, she's worked hard.
Peter, a very hard-working
working, thank you. Thank you.
A lot of people say that they never see her on a BRP meeting, but that is a lie.
Yeah.
She worked behind the Iron Curtain. But I would have taken up that phone and called Noah Lynch. I have nothing wrong with Kerry Simmons. Nothing absolutely wrong with him. A very, very good politician and a very good minister. But I would have called back Noah Lynch and make him the Minister of Tourism.
And who are you sending to the OAS? Who are you sending to Washington?
Well, I'll find somebody. I will find somebody. And after saying that, they can want a chairman now in the Bridgetown Port. But you know, there's a guy that drives taxi. You know, Mentia Cox was a taxi driver.
Okay.
And the cops was a taxi driver. And I got a guy that is that drives taxi. I would put him as chairman in the Bridgetown Court. A guy by the name of Adrian Bailey. I think that is his name. Adrian
Smiley Bailey. Bailey.
I would have made him chairman of the Bridgetown Court.
He's my good friend.
He should have been the member for St. Michael Northwest. He should have ran for the Barbados Labour Party and should be the member of St. Michael Northwest.
But how you know Smiley was interested in politics?
He does politics. But
if he's interested in running?
Yeah, if he had the finance, he would have been a shot at it.
You got money, man. My finance can't be no problem. Smiley got money.
Not this money that I know a little of. Because I know him very well for a couple of years. But he should have been a member of St. Michael Northwest.
Okay.
But I would make him the chairman of the Bridgetown Court. I tell you that. Adrian Smiley Bailey. But getting back to the most, I would have called back home Noel Lynch and make him tourism minister. I have nothing against Kerry Simmons nor the lady Lisa Cummings. Nothing whatsoever. But I'm going to bring back Noel Lynch. Noel Lynch is one of the people that brought cruise ships to Barbados. He and Leroy Sisnick. Noel Lynch knows the stuff. But that's the only flaw of that thing. But it's a great move. But the most important thing that I called about, that lady has to win a seat to talk about she wants to be a prime minister. She don't have no type of equilibrium to be a prime minister. She ain't right. She can't even.
Who's this lady? Are we talking about?
Vernon DePisa that always attacking the Barbados Labour Party, especially the Attorney General, who is doing a fantastic job. The Attorney General don't go there, tell the boy, type of guy, don't go shoot nobody. You got to tell me all these nuggets, don't call the stab me now. It's in the gun show. Stab me. Every minister about the Attorney General, who's doing a fantastic job for the country, not for the BLP, for the country, and she wants them removed. She don't even speak like a politician. Don't even speak like a politician. But she would only be there till the horses make the, you know, the stallion. There's a favorite team to bring the horse racing. No more turns. When the bell ring, it wouldn't be more turns for her. She wouldn't be there. They would do her like holiday.
No problem. Somebody on the chat is here saying that they feel that Lynch was beaten too badly to bring back. And the person is also telling me your name, asking me why you're promoting your family. So,
my family?
That's what the person said.
But he's my family.
Davi, he can still be good.
He's good at what he's doing.
Fair enough.
He's good at
what Gordon, he's doing. I just tell you why I'm reading, you know, this is not my personal view, because I recognize the voice. So, I recognize the voice.
He would have made a better representative down in here than who was in here before. I tell you.
So, if you were to change from down in there now in Northwest, who you would put?
But...
Not saying that any change is necessary, but you know.
But there's a lot of talk on the ground, boy.
But tell me some of that talk. Tell me about some of the names you're hearing on the ground.
Take care, Dr. Chris. Take a look around as a BLP candidate for down here.
As a BLP candidate?
As a BLP candidate. A B.
Now listen, anytime you see Chris Sinclair come and run for the BLP, the second coming is the day after.
You know that
I am a big believer, so that would be the second coming for sure.
I would go. The bear being get that one from me. Not one.
So who else name calling?
I ain't seen no more names boy hanging about yet. I ain't seen nobody else hanging about yet. I ain't hear no y'all's on the ground.
But you tell me that you hear names calling, so
if I had money, I would put Smiley Bailey in the race.
Alright.
And then but I'm serious. Tell Vernon DePisa to just relax.
Smiley Bailey, just message me and tell me that the person for up in there is down in there, sorry, is Horace Bailey, not Smiley Bailey. So you say he and he's saying you. Life is a funny thing, eh?
Life is a funny thing. I would have brought back New Orleans and make him a tourism minister. As I said, I have nothing against Mr. Cummings. But mm-hmm. this field, mm-hmm. he's going to do just as good a job as Mr. Simmons was doing. Because Mr. Simmons was doing a fantastic job. He was. I sorry for him. But I feel that move is good for him. And I feel that that is at his doorstep.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that is at his doorstep.
But I all right, fair enough. Horace, I appreciate your contribution and your frankness. Your call was very illuminating to me because it taught me about a few things about what's happening in Northwest I wasn't aware of, right? All right, Horace, thanks a lot for calling. Huh? Good chatting with you. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Kemp.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Reasonably well. How are you?
Good. All right, no problem. Good, okay. Good, or not bad.
Mr. Vikram, the gentleman I just called in and spoke about Mr. Pisa,
mm-hmm.
That she necessarily shouldn't be a prime minister because she never had a seat or whatever the case may be. Just to me, that's an unintelligent comment. You mean you have to win a seat to show that you could be a prime minister or leader? That's ridiculous. But anyhow, my substantive call is about the integrity bill. And did you listen to the prime minister speak on the integrity bill?
I listened to parts of it, yeah.
And did you hear the public officers that are included and those that are not?
I did, yes.
And if I heard her correctly, is it that the judges are not included in this particular bill?
At this time, no.
At this time, and that she may necessarily be asking the Attorney General to establish another bill that speaks to the judges.
Agreed, yeah.
Right. So my view, as an electorate, and as a member of the public, is that all public officers should be involved in the integrity bill, including judges. You're going to establish a separate bill for judges. You're actually saying that they are cut above the rest. And for me, a public officer is a public officer. And I would hope that the government senators in the Senate, if there's any way that them and the members of the public could establish a level of intelligence and equality and equity and say, absolutely not. We as the electorate who hired you or elected you into office, we are saying to you, no favoritism. One integrity bill, every single public officer. This is just my view. What do you think about that?
I don't agree with you, and I'll tell you why. When you see the integrity bill, what do you believe that that will impose? When you see the bill in its current form, do you believe that it will force members of parliament to declare their assets publicly?
Whatever the integrity bill has been established for, it speaks to public officers, not some public officers. So to me, it really doesn't matter.
Sir, you haven't answered my question. I'm asking you, do you think that the integrity bill imposes on public officers a requirement to disclose their finances publicly?
Yes, and any other thing that is required or that is asked upon them by the members of the public.
But let me just explain something to you, okay?
Yes.
Our bill is patterned on the same principles of the Trinidad and Tobago approach. And in the Trinidad and Tobago approach, it is not a situation where we get a document saying Mia Motley is worth A, B, C, and D.
Right.
What happens is that Prime Minister Motley and members of the cabinet and other public officers are encouraged to submit to a specialized agency documents relating to their assets and their liabilities. That information is held in confidence.
Right.
In a situation where that committee becomes aware of the fact that you have gained an excessive amount of money in a short period of time or in a long period of time, inconsistent with your earnings, then that committee has the right to raise challenges. But it is all done in confidence.
Right.
The problem that you have, sir, is that if you say public officers, you have to include judges, you have to include permanent secretaries, you have to include independent senators, as well as government senators and opposition senators. You would also have to include some senior government officials who are not necessarily at the level of permanent secretary that can influence contracts. You would also have to include board members. I think the challenge that you will have, sir, is that it is already very difficult to get people to serve as judges. In Barbados, probably less so. But in many CARICOM jurisdictions, it's hard to get people to serve as judges because the salary is not attractive and the demands on them are quite high. If you add to that an additional layer that says, I'm going to make your assets and liabilities public knowledge or semi-public knowledge, it may create some challenges in terms of filling those vacancies. And what we were finding in the case of Trinidad and Tobago is that independent senators who work for a stipend will say, if being an independent senator means that I have to disclose all of my affairs to this committee, you can keep the job, I don't want it, because it's not worth it. If being a board chairman or a board member, for which you may get $150 a week a month, means that I have to disclose my assets and liabilities, you can keep the money, I'm not interested. What we have tried to do in Barbados is to create a balance. And I'm saying that it is particularly egregious when it comes to judges, because you are asking people who have to stand in judgment to, in a sense, be judged themselves by the same committee that is judging a permanent secretary and a politician. The impression I'm getting from the Prime Minister is that we need to have a special regime that applies to judges. You probably need to have a special judicial committee that will hold the information on judges confidentially. And it can't be the same committee that holds the information on the Prime Minister and leader of the opposition and people of that nature. And that's all she's saying. She's not saying that they should not be assessed in that way. She's not saying that integrity and public life should be limited. But I think we're trying to navigate the peculiarities of that whole situation. Over to you now, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Vikram. Mr. Vikram, I appreciate and I understand what you're saying. My substantive point is simply this. If you are going to establish an integrity bill and you're going to include even titles such as magistrate, why leave out a judge? That's all I'm saying, okay? So for me, if we are going to be, and again, it should be across the board, not one public officer and not the next. And obviously, it is really to do with the type of position that they may necessarily be attempting to hold, that you may want a little bit more scrutiny on them. That I can appreciate. My argument is this. Leaving out judges and including magistrates and then ministers in parliament and the person in between their judges, you exclude them. To me, it doesn't make any sense. I appreciate what you're saying and I understand what you're saying. You even mentioned Trinidad. I understand that with respect to Trinidad as well. And I'm saying this respectfully. This is not Trinidad. We have our own views. We have our own opinions as well. You see what I'm saying, Mr. Vikram?
Suppose, sir, I were to tell you, as I'm trying to say just now, is that it's not that judges are being excluded. It's just that we're not leading with judges. So judges will be included eventually. But in the first instance, eventually, in the first instance, she's dealing with the political persons. And then eventually judges will also be included. Because that's all she said, that at this point in time, they're not including judges. But it's not to say that judges will never be included.
But I can understand that. But why have magistrates in the integrity bill and not judges? I don't understand that.
Magistrates are public officers at a different level. Anyhow, sir, we gotta talk. So you want to have something final on this or no? You will go ahead.
No, that was my main concern.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Reach out again. Down to brass tacks. We have about 15 minutes remaining. I think the producer is telling me that we have a few calls online. We have quite a few WhatsApp messages, all of which I can't read to you. But one important point that a gentleman who does have some legal training is advising me is that, Peter, you cannot have judges under the same legislation that they themselves might have to preside over. The other point is that the Constitution already deals with judges. I don't think the Auditor General should fall there either, being a creature of the Constitution. So the point is that if the persons who are creatures of the Constitution, such as the Auditor General and the judges, clearly they cannot be treated the same way that you would treat other public officers who are not creatures of the Constitution. This is all a way of saying that if we're going to create a system for disclosure for judges, it has to be a completely different regime to that which relates to the average public servant. So that is an important point, and I want to thank him for the legal explanation, which I think is very useful. Other comments relating to potential Democratic Labour Party candidates, most of which I can't, because I keep being told this person is running, but don't say anything yet. So I will not say anything yet. And then a couple of WhatsApp messages. One of them is talking about Rudy Bragg, saying that he would have been an excellent choice for Minister of Tourism. He has considerable experience, and they recall that Grant and Noah Lynch were hailed as a dynamic duo in tourism. And that, in addition to that, Mr. Rudy Grant is a very nice guy. I think certainly that is something to which I can attest, that he is a very nice guy. So clearly, the Barbados Labour Party leader, Ms. Prime Minister Motley, has a lot of options regarding selections for tourism where those are concerned. Now to brass tacks, good afternoon.
Mr. Wickham.
Yes, sir.
How are you today, sir?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the idea of you being pregnant with Caribbean problems.
you're pregnant with the
grand election. all this addition in face.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk. Mm-hmm. I want to deal first, Mr. Wickham, with the cabinet. And I want to look at the position obvious of down the road. I think the Prime Minister is far ahead of a lot of those people who were around her in terms of politics and the move towards stabilizing yourself and having yourself ready when the time comes. Now, I know for a fact that over the last couple of weeks, she was stabilizing herself by image in terms of from the discussion with the BBC, then the various channels. This was creating not only a regional image, but an international image. When I look at the political situation, you know and I know that a government in office is always the challenge. So there is a possibility that a government in office will be challenged for a seat. You there with me?
I'm there, but Uncle Mark, you listen to the radio, you know you shouldn't be doing that.
No, I turn off.
You know about
it. I back with you. A government in office obviously knows very well that there's a possibility of losing some seats in their coming election. I'm of the opinion that the Prime Minister is well aware that there's some seats that are well aware. I am also convinced that the leader of the opposition, the present opposition, is not aware of what could happen to him now. Similar to what happened when three people went, because he's only one, there's a possibility he's got three people now. And there's a possibility that this house being prorogued, being reopened, is an opportunity for us to see probably a new leader of the opposition moving into the chamber. I also must compliment the Prime Minister. First, let me compliment Mr. Edgell for his hard work. And also, let me compliment Lisa for her hard work. But one of the people that I believe should be in the cabinet long ago and has not been placed in the cabinet, and I hope that some consideration will be given, and that's Sandra Brown from St. Philip. I think the position that was held by...
You're talking about Sonia Brown, Dr. Brown. Sonia Brown.
I think the position that was held by Mr. Rowe should have been given to her, being a doctor, being someone who specialized in the medical profession as far as seniors are concerned. So I would want to know that a position in a new cabinet or assistance to Ms. St. Thomas would be Sonia Brown. Based on the fact of her experience, based on the fact that St. Thomas, St. Philip has not had a minister for a long time. Fortunately, We've got Mr. Weir in the area. We've got Mr. John King, and I believe that her position would hold strain in that area. Sonia Brown. When it comes to St. Michael Northwest, I openly believe that there is an opening in St. Michael Northwest. You too. And I would suggest that one of the people that should be looked at would be a young man called Corey Lane. Corey Lane has long been knocking at that door, and I think he's ready now. Mm-hmm. In terms of chairmanship of the port, there's a lady by the name of Lynette Holder who works with the Small Business Association, who is an advocate. I think either Lynette Holder or Lucille Moore are two people that possibly could hold the chairmanship of the Bridgetown Port. If I had to choose, I would choose Lynette Holder because of her activities in the area. Ready, willing, and able. But I am of the belief that when the House broke, you're going to see a whole different situation in terms of who holds what. And this idea, Mr. Wickham, of challenging Verlie de Pisa. You know, it's hard to challenge Verlie de Pisa, but all I'm seeing from the opposition in office is that they're doing press releases. None of them have said it, at least what constituency they're prepared to work in. None of them so far, apart from the young Gibson. So I don't see how you could be running for office as part of the opposition team, months down the road, and the constituencies have done. So you can't blame the DLP alone. You've got to blame the loyal opposition in office who has not found it fit to name their candidates for respective constituencies. So this is why I'm saying that Smalley is years ahead of her opponents. Years ahead. She knows exactly the terrain. She knows exactly how to motivate, when to motivate, and how to make the speeches that are appropriate. She will lose seats, but she will not lose the government.
Mm-hmm. All right, sir. Mark, thank you for your Uncle Mark, as you say. Thank you for your contribution. I'm mindful of the fact that it is now 53 minutes past the hour of one, and I think there are other people who are trying to get in on the program. I appreciate the comments that you have made, specifically the ones with relation to St. Michael Northwest. So I'm hoping that the Prime Minister is listening to you and making copious notes of what you have said. This is Dr. Brastax. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Wickham.
Hey, how are you?
Hello. Yeah,
good afternoon. How are you doing?
New York. You're coming. I'm good. I just want to let you know you're coming through clear, man, from yesterday. Today you got a very good reception here in New York. And I want you to give, I'm a regular listener to David Johnson and Dennis Ellis, David Ellis, but I just want to give my condolences to a friend of mine. His mother passed, if you allow me to.
Sure.
Yeah, his name is Eddie Gibson. His mother, on the passing of his mother, my condolences to he and the family. And Peter, you keep the good work up. You all keep the good work up. I listen all the time. My name is Conley.
Okay, well, thank you for that, sir. I appreciate very much you using the facility to send condolence notices. And I would want to add my own words of condolence in addition. So thank you, and also appreciate your listening to the program. Hey, Dr. Brastax, good afternoon.
Hello, very good afternoon, Peter.
Yes, good afternoon. Hey, how are you doing?
Thanks. I'm fine, thanks. Thanks for taking my call. And I should say that since my daughter is a big fan, she'd be happy to know that we are having a chat. This is my first time I'm talking to you. Anyway, thanks. What I want to do, I wouldn't want to speak necessarily to the shakeup at this time, but to the Prime Minister. Her movements recently with the Liatic situation, especially the getting out of that situation is excellent, because government should not be found, especially after 9/11, should not be find themselves in a airline situation, because with American Airlines with 9/11, that was, there were some lawsuits flying around, and luckily, LIAT has the kind of record that it had, and nothing would say that it would continue to have that record. So one incident could have necessarily bankrupted, not bankrupted, that's pretty strong, but they would have had to possibly pay some heavy legal fees. So I'm glad that she has pulled the trigger on that, get out of that situation, if that is what happens eventually. To speak on the shakeup, Lisa Cummings.
Very quickly, though. Very quickly. Go ahead.
Yes. Thanks. I'm hearing her for the first time, really recently, or paying attention, and she has really, really impressed me, especially the interrogation in the Senate with the thing where the leader of the opposition is chairman.
Okay. All right, sir. I'm going to have to stop you there. Unfortunately, I was hoping that we could have a longer conversation, but the music tells us that it's time to wrap up the program, because we have a gentleman called Larry Mears who is waiting to get in, and we have to continue. So I want to thank you for calling. I'm hoping that you and I can chat again. It should make your daughter happy, and that we can have the opportunity to delve into some of those issues. The LIAT issue is complicated, and I think a lot of us are happy to see that government is getting out of the airline business for whatever reason. The main reason is that we seem to be losing a whole lot of money. Two quick points. Question is whether backbenchers are paid. Yes, they are paid, but considered less than ministers. And I'm also being told by Curtis that we should remember, when we're talking about persons for Northwest, that Marsha Hines Lane is still very much an option. So those two points I had to mention. Folks, I want to thank you so much for what was a very interesting program, as we dealt largely with the issue of the reshuffle of the cabinet. I enjoyed engaging with you over the last 4 hours. Special thanks to Mr. John Stout for providing excellent technical support that help us to navigate the peculiarities of this internet situation that we have to manage. So appreciate it very much. I want to wish all of you a great weekend. I do hope that you enjoy it as we get back to normal in this post-COVID, or in this COVID environment, I should say. Let's make the best of it. All the best, and I look forward to chatting with you next week at some point in time. Take care.